Well, of course, we want to welcome those that are joining us online or over at our Westside campus today. And last week, we started a brand new series for the new year called Rhythms That Revive. And really, my hope for this series is that in light of this past year, which was a hard year, that maybe we could really begin this year by taking some necessary steps to be better prepared for whatever this year has to throw at us. And we don't know what's coming this year. And so the kind of rhythms that we're going to be looking at could also be described as routines or practices or disciplines or patterns or behaviors or habits. They could even be called habits. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed in life how hard it can be to break a bad habit. I mean, it's just hard to break a bad habit, but how easy it can be to break a good habit. I mean, it's no trouble at all. And so you might decide that you want to stay away from sugar or sweets for a time, but isn't it all too easy just to just indulge in a moment's notice as soon as you let your guard down? While on the other hand, you could exercise every day regularly for months and months and get up one morning and just quit, maybe for the rest of the year. It's not hard at all. So it should be pretty obvious that healthy rhythms require intentionality. I mean, we're going to have to work at it. And so in this series, we're actually introducing five healthy rhythms that you and I need to be intentional about. And we're going to use a hand to be able to remember those five rhythms. And remember, the first one is the thumb, and that is to humble your soul. And we're kind of using the thumb because when you're stuck alongside the road and you need a ride, you got to humble yourself and ask for help. And then the pointer finger is the rhythm of directing our soul. We're going to talk about that today. The middle finger is refresh your soul. The ring finger is connect your soul. It's about relationships. And then it's interesting, we're going to use the smallest finger on the hand to talk about how to extend your soul. Oh, the rhythm of that is so important. Well, because of our fallen nature, these rhythms don't just happen naturally. You and I are going to have to be proactive and intentional if we want to develop these rhythms. But it will be well worth the effort in the long run, because what we know about life is that first you develop your rhythms and then your rhythms develop you. They build life into you. And so last week we talked at rhythm number one, humbling your soul. And that's almost a daily thing we have to do. If there was a verse of scripture we'd want you to attach to this rhythm, it would be James chapter 4, verse 10, which says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And it's important to remind ourselves every day that God is God and we are not. And we need his help. Now, if you opened up your program, if you're in person today, if you're online, you can download these as well. I wanted to provide just a little prayer that you could pray every day to remind yourself of this. And so it says, God, you are God, and I am not, and I'm going to need your help today. And again, they're downloadable versions if you'd like to get one of those. I would just encourage you to put this somewhere where you can see it every day. Mine's going to go up on the bathroom mirror so that as I'm getting ready every day, it can come to my attention. Well, we started with humility because that is foundational to all the other rhythms, especially the one that we're going to look at today, as seen, as I think, in Psalm 25, verse 9. And here's what it says of God, that God actually guides the humble in what is right. He directs our soul. He teaches them his way. And so rhythm number two, of course, you know, is you got to direct your soul. You start by humbling it, and then you direct your soul. Now, I have a question for all of the parents that are here today. How many children do you have? Make a quick count, and especially if you drop them off in children's ministry, we want you to know how many so that you take the appropriate number home. Because how many parents at one time or another have left a kid at church? Lots of parents. I want to make sure of that. But when you're counting the number, it's kind of a trick question. How many children do you have really? I don't want this to be depressing. You really have none. Because I'd like to remind you, and you'll get this the older they get, ultimately they have themselves. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but your children really are not your children. They truly are their own person. And God has simply entrusted them to you during their most formative years of their life so that you can hopefully be a positive and godly influence on them. But they're their own person because actually every soul is self-directed. Each of us have been given authority over and responsibility for our inner selves. And while you are on this earth, you are empowered to direct your soul. And that means that we've all been given the freedom to determine whether or not we're going to follow God's path or whether we're going to follow our own path. And that's one of the reasons why a relationship with God has to begin with that Bible word called repentance. Because repentance is about going our own direction and then making a U-turn, deciding that we are really going to follow God's path for our life rather than our own. And it's that whole humility thing that has to be in place. That brings us to the passage in the Bible that I would like us to draw our attention to today. It would be a good verse to memorize if you haven't already. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And I would just say, regardless of what 2021 brings, I bet we're going to need to lean on this truth. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, that requires that humility, that recognizing God is God and you are not. And then it says, and lean not on your own understanding. Give God's way a chance. It says, in all your ways, submit to him, and then he will make your paths straight. Other translations say he will actually direct your paths. Now, I love what the RSV version of the Bible says in verse 5. And again, it just says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. Because that's our natural inclination. 2020 was a tough year. And we really don't know what 2021 is going to bring. But here's what someone in our church family discovered about the value of directing her soul by making sure she was spending regular and consistent time in God's Word as she went through 2020. Watch her story.
My name is Sarah Hamill. 2020 for me has been an interesting year, and I've learned a lot. It started with the 2 million minutes challenge. That the past couple challenges that we've had, I haven't done very good with, but this one, for some whatever reason, really lit a fire under me, and I started. I even made a chart to make sure that I was writing down my minutes and was committed to reading 15 minutes a day. And I started the year that way, and was doing really great when COVID hit in March, and you know, everything's shutting down and the world is kind of going crazy. And I tend to like to be in control and know what's happening. And, you know, the world was going out of control. And, you know, with having spent 3 months in the Word, which I had been really bad at before, I realized that when this happened, I needed to be in the Word more. So I, you know, stepped up my Bible reading time. I had been in one Bible study that when everything shut down, I figured was canceled. So when an online study came up, I jumped on it because I knew I wanted to continue being in Bible study. And then, of course, my other Bible study went online. So I accidentally joined two Bible studies. So between being in the Word on my own and two Bible studies, it's amazing how much I heard from God this year. There were multiple weeks where I would read something in my Bible and it would connect with both Bible studies and the sermon that we were hearing at church. And, you know, you realize God's there and he's probably trying to tell me something. So, you know, it's amazing what a difference that made. I struggle with anxiety, and this year I've had less anxiety than last year. If you had told me last year everything that was going to happen this year with COVID and the election and riots and everything else that's going on, I would have told you that I would have just been a blubbering mess. all year that this would have been the hardest year, but it wasn't. And I really think that has to do with the fact that I was in the Word.
When Sarah last year made a choice to read the Bible, it provided important insight that helped her get through 2020 better than she could imagine. And I think that's probably why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 105, says, God, your word is a lamp for my feet. It's a light on my path. Now, last week, I mentioned five steps that we're going to have to take to integrate these rhythms into our lives. And today, we're going to simply walk through how to apply them to this rhythm of allowing God's word and his truth to direct our soul. So let's start at number one. Number one is, first, you have to decide. You got to make a decision. And the place to begin is to make a decision about spending time in God's word, that's going to be a priority in your life. And again, fortunately, as 2020 began, Sarah had decided to be intentional about that, and it made a huge difference. Now, we're actually going to give some extra time to this whole decide thing, because until you truly decide that you need God's word in your life, you're probably just going to make half-hearted attempts at getting into it. And for most of us, in order to add time to read God's word into our life, we're probably going to have to give some things up, and it's also going to require some self-discipline. And so every one of us here, you have to decide, hey, this is something that I need. Because I can guarantee you right up front, it will always be easier to do almost anything else than read the Bible. Just staring out the window can take a lot of time. I'm wondering this morning, how many of you remember the cartoon character Popeye the Sailor Man? Remember Popeye? We used to watch that as a kid all the time. Well, when he would get to a place where he was kind of frustrated, he would make the statement, he'd say, that's all I can stands and I can't stands no more. And remember what he would do next? He would pull out a big can of spinach and pop it open, and he would down the spinach, and all of a sudden he would be given superhuman strength and he could accomplish anything. Wouldn't that be nice? See, the problem is that most of us have not experienced that kind of result from eating spinach. First of all, because it tastes terrible. But any kind of vegetable, for that matter. Have you had that happen? And honestly, when I suggest that you need to spend time in God's word, I think it's a lot like facing the same kind of resistance encountered when challenging people that they need to eat their vegetables or that they need to exercise. Because you might know that it's good for you, but you're not going to do it until you actually make the decision that you need to do it. Now, to help you with that, in his book, No Silver Bullets, Daniel Eim did some research, and he discovered that simply reading the Bible, just reading the Bible on a regular basis, was one of the greatest predictors of spiritual health. He found that consistency reading the Bible proactively and positively affects every other area of your spiritual life. Things like consistently obeying God, denying self, serving God and others, sharing Christ, exercising your faith, seeking God, building healthy relationships, and even being unashamed of your faith. And what's surprising about the research is that it doesn't even have to include Bible study or memorizing the scripture, simply reading it. Now, I want to give clarity here. Those two are definitely important factors that can lead to maturity. But they found that simply opening the scriptures and personally reading them makes a huge difference. And let me just say, everyone here can do that. So the question next might be, well, how often do I need to do it? Well, you might remember back in November, I noted some research that was done by the Center for Bible Engagement. And what they discovered was that when someone engages in Scripture at least four times or more during the week, that their life looks radically different from the life of someone who doesn't. And what's amazing is 4 days seems to be the tipping point. Not one, not two, not three. It's got to be 4 days. Because the lives of those who did not engage in the Bible at least 4 days a week were statistically the same as the lives of non-believers. And so if you're wondering how much, there are 7 days in a week. You got to give God the best of seven. It's got to be at least four, five or six would be even better. Now, having said that, I want to make it clear that the Bible should not be read and being reading. It should not be seen as a religious duty. Because sometimes that's where it comes across, even as pastors, as we teach it. It's not a religious duty. It needs to be seen as one of the most important ways that you get to know God and that you feed your soul. And so I don't want to ever encourage you to just simply read the Bible to satisfy a legalistic requirement. You should be reading it to get to know God better, to understand his truth. Because it can become just a very legalistic thing, and it's not the end, it's the means. But even back in Jesus' day, when he encountered the religious leaders, they had gotten that mixed up. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "Hey, you study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life." And he says, "These are the very scriptures that testify about me." The Bible is intended to lead you to relationship with God. And it's important, not just because it helps you understand or know God better. Folks, it literally feeds your soul. It feeds your soul, which is good because your soul needs spiritual nourishment. Your soul is hungry for God. Our problem is we feed it with lots of worldly things that actually lead us in a bad direction. I think it's no coincidence the Bible actually identifies the Word of God and compares it to spiritual food for your soul. Here is a few examples. Remember when Jesus had been out in the wilderness, he had fasted for 40 days, hadn't eaten anything. The devil tempts him to turn stones into bread. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 4:4. It says, "Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on physical bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Your soul needs the Word of God for spiritual nourishment. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you can grow up in your salvation." Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. They're getting a little bit of a reprimand here. It says, "In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You actually need someone new to teach the elementary truths of God's word all over again." He says, so you need milk because you're still on the basics, not solid food. "And anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness." And then it says this, "But solid food, the real meat of the word of God, is for the mature who by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." And so how much time? Every week, your time in the Bible needs to be at least 4 days or more. The best of seven you need to give God. And I would hope that you'd ask yourself, when it comes to spending time in God's word, is my attitude, do I have to or do I get to? Because if you can transfer it from being do I have to I get to, that'll make a huge difference. Now, once you've convinced yourself that spending time in God's word is important, the next step is you have to develop a plan. You need a plan. And this is another critical juncture in developing healthy rhythms. Because as they say, those who fail to plan to fail. That's why you got to have a plan. Now, here's a couple of plans that I've seen people try to use that I would not suggest. And so some people will sit down, they'll open up their Bible, just kind of flip through it, open it up, and they'll put their finger on the page and they'll say, okay, that's where I'm going to read today. That's not what I would recommend. There are also some people who try reading the Bible like they've read every other book. You start at the beginning and you read to the end. And so they start in Genesis and it goes pretty good. And halfway through Exodus, it goes pretty good. And then we hit the law. And for the next 40, 50, 60 chapters, it's hard work, and that's just difficult. So it's not like that. See, the Bible is not arranged in chronological order, but rather it's organized by content and purpose. And so let me just give you an example real quick. The Old Testament, there are 39 books, and there are 5 different categories. And pretty easy to remember. All you have to remember are the numbers 5 and 12, because it's 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. There are 5 books of law, and then there are 12 books of history, and then there are 5 books of poetry, Psalms and Proverbs, and then there are 5 books of major prophets, just because they wrote so much, and then the 5 books of the minor prophets. It's even true when we get to the New Testament. There's actually 4 categories of books there. Starts out with the 4 Gospels. And so some people start reading the New Testament, they'll say, man, I keep hearing about Jesus' life over and over and over again, because the first 4 are all about the life of Jesus, and then the book of Acts is actually the history of the early church, and then there's epistles or letters that were letters written to these early churches, and then, of course, it winds up with the book of Revelation, which is end-time prophecy. And so in the midst of that, you got to figure out, what is my plan for reading the Bible? And let me just say, there are dozens of awesome plans available. I mean, all you need to do really just Google online, or if you have the Bible YouVersion app, watch this. It's this simple. Could not be any simpler than that. There's a lot of great plans. Now, you know, let me just share with you what my personal one is, because I've come up with my own spiritual diet. You know, we've identified five food groups in the physical world. Well, I've just said, hey, there's five spiritual food groups. There's Old Testament, and so every day I just read one chapter from one of these areas. One chapter in the Old Testament, one chapter in the book of Psalms, and I just keep reading through it. One chapter in the book of Proverbs, because I need some wisdom for today. One chapter in the Gospels, because I want to get to know Jesus better. And then one chapter in the epistles through the end of Revelation. And here's what I've discovered over the years of just doing that over and over again. When I read somewhere in that those passages of Scripture, something feeds my soul and ministers to the need that I have right away. And then I would just encourage you, once you have your plan, follow through on Proverbs 16:3, which says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The third thing you have to do, once you have the plan, you're just going to have to do the Nike thing. Just do it. You're going to have to just do it. And the hardest thing can be is just getting started. You know that a speeding locomotive, when it's got, you know, a lot of momentum behind it, it can actually crash through a cement wall several feet thick. That same locomotive, it's stopped on the track. You can take a little block of wood and put it in front of the drive wheel, and it can't move. Because getting started is sometimes the hardest thing. And that's why we would say, well begun is half done. And you got to know, Satan is going to want to stop you even before you start reading the Bible. Because the Bible actually identifies the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit, which along with prayer is the only offensive weapon that is mentioned in our spiritual armor. And if you want to be able to take Satan on, you got to have the sword. Number four, you're going to have to adjust. You're just going to know you're going to try something and it's not going to work the best. Because, you know, rarely does life ever go according to plan. You'll start it and then there'll be something that comes in that changes it. And so try to find a time you can be consistent with. If it doesn't work, find a different time. Make some adjustments. If you don't like your plan, find a different plan. And then number five, you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to persevere. Persist, endure, stay with it. And this is so important because this will make it or break it. I want to just real quickly give you five reasons why you're going to need to persevere. Number one, because some days you're not going to feel like it. I can guarantee it. You'll be excited at first, but then you're going to wake up one day and you're not going to be excited about it. Jesus was pretty clear that while the spirit might be willing, the flesh is often weak. And so when that happens, just do it anyway, because you will find that you can act your way into feeling a lot quicker than you can feel your way into acting if you wait for the feeling. So there were times when you don't feel like reading the Bible. Just do it anyway. Number two, because Satan will do all he can to keep you from it. God's word is truth. Satan is the father of lies. He does not want you to hear God's truth. Number three, because biblical understanding is progressive. Some of the people who start reading the Bible say, I can't understand this. Because you have to invest time. time in it. It's taken years for me to come to the understanding of God's word like I feel like I have today. And honestly, I think I still have a long ways to go and a lot more to understand. And you know what's amazing is even though I've been reading the Bible for decades, I can break God's word open and come across a scripture that suddenly I see in a new light like I've never seen it before. It's amazing. And so the more you read God's word, the more you will be able to understand it. And will there be parts of the Bible that you may never understand? Yes, but there are plenty of parts of the Bible that you can and do understand and work on those parts. And then number four, you're going to need to persevere because the more you persevere, the more you'll develop an appetite for God's word. When you've gone without physical food long enough, your body actually starts to tell you, hey, it's time to eat, stomach's growling. And when you have learned to feed your soul, and your soul is used to being fed God's word, and you haven't spent any time in God's word, you'll start to hunger for it. To the point that when you start your day, you may even find yourself saying, man, I got to have my coffee, and I got to have my time in God's word to get going. And then finally, number five, because you're going to need God's word for your entire life. There's never going to be a point in your life where you say, hey, I've outgrown God's word. You'll need it your entire life. So here's my takeaway for today for all of you. I'd like all of you to be able to make the statement. I will provide my soul the spiritual direction and nourishment it needs by spending time regularly. How many times a week? At least four. Remember that four? In God's word. Now, you know, to help us really do this very thing the past couple of years, and Sarah mentioned that in her testimony, we've been actually encouraging us to do it as a congregation and setting a congregational goal for getting into God's word. The first year, we counted chapters. And as a church family, we collectively read nearly 500,000 chapters in the Bible in 2019. And then last year, we counted minutes. And in spite of COVID-19 and all that it added, we didn't make our 2 million goal, but we still recorded close to 700,000 minutes that we've read. Well, this year, we're going to call it the Bible Book Club. And our goal is to collectively read 21,000 books of the Bible as a church in 2021. Now, that's just about 1,750 a month that we're going to need to read. And if you want to jump in quick there's some obvious places to start. Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. One chapter, four books at once. Now, to help you with this in the program today and also online, you can download and we have a little bookmark. So as you finish a book, you can check it off. And then on our welcome cards or on our website every day or every week, you can be able to record those. And as we just wrap things up, I just want you to please remember, we never would encourage you to read the Bible just to earn spiritual brownie points with God. You're reading so that you can hear from God and get to know Him better so that He can direct your soul through His wisdom and His truth. And so I'd encourage you, decide, make a plan, just do it. Make adjustments and persevere. And my prayer really would be that you would see it not as something you have to do, but as something we get to do. In ways never before, we have printed versions of the Bible, translations, we have it electronically, you can listen to it audibly. We ought to be more into it than ever before, but because of all those things, we don't until we decide. We're going to close the service a little different today, just partly because of time. I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. We won't have a response song this morning, but thank you for being here. Let's pray, and then we can be dismissed. Father, thank you for this morning, for being able to be in this place, to hear from you, to worship you. Father, help us in this rhythm of directing our soul, not going our own way, but following your way. Father, we would pray that you'd help us to lean not so much on our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge you. And we'd pray that you would direct our paths. And we pray that, Father, today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.